Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday of November 22nd. I'm Alan Chartok, members of the National Policy Institute, a self-described white nationalist alt-right movement, gathered this weekend in Washington to discuss their platform. The leader has said he doesn't believe Donald Trump is alt-right, but called the Republicans' campaign the first step towards identity politics in the United States. What's your thought on this connection? Is it valid, bogus? What do you think this group is doing, and what do you think Donald Trump is doing? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also mail the show at VoxPop at WMC.org. Your calls and emails coming up. When? Well, right after this news. Again, the telephone number, and I want you on the phone, is 1-800-348-2551. Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Members of the National Policy Institute, a self-described white nationalist alt-right movement, gathered this weekend in Washington to discuss their platform. Their leader, Richard Spencer, has said he doesn't believe that President-elect Donald Trump is alt-right, but called the Republican campaign the first step towards identity politics in the U.S. Before Trump, Spencer said, the alt-right was like a head without a body. But then Trump came along and his campaign became a body without a head. One of the chief policy proposals is a 50-year immigration freeze with a preference given to European immigrants. Video captured by The Atlantic showed people giving what appeared to be Nazi salutes to a closing speech by Spencer. What do you think the group is doing? Are they energized by Trump's campaign? How does this impact in American politics feel and the country at large? Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. This just in, over the delivered to me by Ray Graff himself. It says, live interview from the New York Times today. Mr. Trump denied that his campaign had energized the so-called alt-right, saying he disavowed it. It's not a group I want to energize, he said. And if they are energized, I want to look into it and find out why. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's talk to Connie in Albany. All right, Connie, you're on. Go ahead.
I just have one thing to say about it. I object to them being called the alt-right. I feel that's a euphemism. I think that they really are a national socialist, even Nazi sympathizing group. And I think that the media is abdicating responsibility by being complicit in calling them something other than what they are.
Well, I don't know. Usually we let people call themselves what they want, but certainly we have, I know we have on the round table, on the panel called, we've had people call them Nazis. We have read stuff that basically says that, Adele. You know, I mean, I don't know whether we're included in your concept of the media here. But I know what I think about this.
As usual, you guys are pretty much a voice in the wilderness on this. But I think that most of the other voices are actually complicit. I don't believe that, in particular, WAMC and to a lesser extent public radio are as complicit as others. In particular, you guys are at WAMC are really illuminating the situation. Especially some of your local programming illuminates the situation.
Connie, including this one right now, giving everybody a chance to say whatever they want. To say, Connie,
right.
I appreciate
absolutely.
It. The lines are loading up. I really appreciate your call. Thanks very much.
No problem. Bye.
Yeah, bye. And now we'll go to Joanna in Hudson, New York. Okay. Number three. Have I ever told you I love Hudson, Joanna?
Yes. Go it's ahead. A great place, but... You know, we live across the river from Round Top, and for years they've had people in Round Top who annually celebrate Hitler's birthday.
Well,
I agree with everything Connie said. I honestly don't understand why we're not calling this what it is. I know I personally can be reactive, and I don't like to throw the Nazi term around because then I think it diminishes the reality of what happened in Europe, but I'm not quite sure why we're so hesitant when during the campaign, Hitler threw a Heil, Trump threw a Heil Hitler salute on stage to one of his, somebody who was, saying something. How does he not, you know, see that he is complicit in what's going on? Well, I know he can't. But the rest of us need to call it out for what it is.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joanna. Appreciate it. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your show. I'd love you to be on it. Give us a call. Again, 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to, let's see here, number two, which is William in Albany. William, you're on.
Hi. How's it going, Al?
Well, you know, it's been a tough couple of weeks for me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. You know, the point I wanted to make really quickly is that I think it's really unfortunate that these white nationalist groups who are talking so positively about things like identity politics are not really understanding the massive amount of shared economic grievances that a lot of them have with these other racial and ethnic minorities. I mean, a lot of the people who support these movements are poor whites. They're people who live in situations that are very similar to the people that they're criticizing. And we see any time that the United States goes into an economic downturn, we see this in 1890 with the Chinese Exclusion Act. First, we loved the Chinese. They were building the railroads for us. And then as soon as we went into an economic downturn, we immediately blamed them and we said that we didn't want any more of them. And we see this as a psychological constant that we go through our history. And it just makes it so much easier for us, the working class of people, to divide ourselves. We do this dirty work of division that used to be done forcibly by, you know, people who had money and power, who, you know, were seeking to maintain that money and power. And now I feel like we're programmed to the point where we're doing it ourselves. And I just wanted to make that point because I think it's really sad.
Okay, it's a point. I don't fully agree with it. I think that there are those who will always do this. And ironically, we are at a point now where the country is doing much better than it has, particularly since Obama took over from the Bushes. Nevertheless, there is always somebody who will do this. You know, I read something, William, not that long ago that said that one of the things about this election is that Trump had captured the ability to understand that we are in, that this was the last possible time that a white majority would vote themselves in the country, and he made it work. It's an interesting concept, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and I don't think that a mere white minority is going to necessarily turn any tides. I mean, we see in South Africa, apartheid was maintained for many years.
You're back,
even
exactly.
Though whites made up 10 to 15% of the population. So I do agree with you that the power of white racism is very strong.
It
However,
is.
I believe that there are opportunities for unification here that people are kind of ignoring.
Okay.
And I think that sometimes people make money and maintain power based on these divisions and how they perpetuate themselves through this intergenerational trauma of racism and its lasting effects.
Thank you, William. Okay, let's go to Ben in the Berkshires. Okay, and here we go to Ben. Oops, that messed up. Okay, we've got a Ben in the Berkshires. Ben, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. One of the things I just wanted to call and comment on is something I've seen happening over, the last, I'd say, months or two, in particular the last several weeks since the election. And what I've observed is much activity on social media platforms like Facebook in particular, where, friends of mine, you know, progressive, liberal friends of mine are sharing images of, active hate groups and mobilized groups of people that are standing for things like the alt-right, or even further that way, the American Nazi Party, with Heil salutes and images of that. And I think that what I have a real problem with is that these kind of shares, these kind of indiscriminate shares, are seem, in my opinion, irresponsible in a sense, because when you're looking at the history of our media. We tend not to, or previously tended not to, cover a big hate rally in Western Pennsylvania where, you know, hundreds of Klan members showed up and waved Confederate flags. It's not an image that was typically portrayed. And so when you look at the ideal situation for these types of groups where publicity, you know, they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. I think that's very true, and it's something that we've
Well, wait. Okay, look, Ben. Rosemary and I and Rex on the Media Project, we've talked about this 100 times. So if there is a gigantic KKK rally, are you telling me that the local newspaper should not cover that?
Well, I don't necessarily say that about the local newspaper, although when you're looking at platforms like Facebook, these things are being shared across the entire country. If somebody puts a frowny face reaction to that photo, you know, that friend may have a friend in Seattle that's going to see it.
But still, I think that this is a time for tremendous courage, Ben, for people speaking out and saying on Facebook or anywhere else and calling it out for what it is. You know, I'm not comparing Trump to Hitler now, but I am telling you, when Hitler was coming up, everybody thought he was a clown and we shouldn't cover him and we shouldn't worry about him. They turned out to be very wrong. That's all I got to say. Hey, Ben, I got a full line here. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. All right. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back with John and Jeff and Ted and Eric and Andrew. But here comes a little bit of a break.
Support for WAMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, Troy, and Boston Spa, offering freshly baked quiche with a variety of herbs and spices, including vegetarian offerings. TheWhistlingKettle.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Larac, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, larac.org. Interactive Media Consulting, LLC, celebrating 20 years providing websites, branding, social media, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond, imediaconsult.com. Gazebo, Northampton, Massachusetts, an independent lingerie shop specializing in bra and post-mastectomy fittings, providing support to the Pioneer Valley for almost 40 years, the-gazebo.com. And Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building, a net zero energy, net zero water teaching center for all ages, tours bi-monthly, hitchcockcenter.org.
And over to Ted now. Ted in Pinebush. Welcome, Ted.
Hey, Dr. Shottuck, how are you today?
Okay, go ahead.
I can't help but notice similarities to the past here, and it's basically your those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that bothers me most, I think, was early on in the campaign, there was a necessity to pledge allegiance to Donald Trump. And now I see these videos of people saying, Hail Trump. I think they kind of missed the mark on what we're supposed to be from the get-go.
Well, let me read you what Ray Graff handed me just a few seconds ago. He said, from the live interview with the New York Times today, Mr. Trump denied that his campaign had energized the so-called alt-right movement, saying he disavowed it. It's not a group I want to energize, he said, and if they are energized, I want to look into it and find out why. Does that sound like somebody who is, repeating history?
Well, you know, After the actions you saw at the rallies, you kind of really have to question it. Is there any truth to that statement, or is he learning on the job, which is always possible?
Well,
you got to leave that door open.
Also, he's a guy who tends to talk to people he's talking to in one way and then reverse himself. I mean, he's lied plenty of times. So you think he's lying?
I'm not buying the goods.
I haven't
been from the get-go. It's just been too much this and too much then turn around and too much that, even in the same sentence. So how can you? You can't rely on it, that's all.
Ted, I thank you for your call. Okay, let's now go to, let's see here. Yeah, John in upstate New York. John, you're on.
How are you doing today? I believe that Donald J. Trump has exposed the alt-right and the white supremacy, and really kind of with social media and everything nowadays, it's really made it prevalent. But I think we've also exposed that faction of the society, and we can eliminate that side of it. We don't have to really worry because they're too exposed, and they're just latching on to a very distant part of his campaign and really trying to utilize that and get noticed and trying to build their movement. But I don't think majority of the country really is on board with the alt-right. And I don't think that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. I mean, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is Jewish. He's a very fair man. I think he did lie a lot during the campaign, but his lies were on a different spectrum of Hillary's.
Okay, John, I want to tell you something. I really appreciate your calling. Not because I agree with you, because obviously I don't, but because you have the courage to call and give your opinion, and it may not be consistent with what everybody else is saying, but we need you. And thank you for calling, John. I appreciate it. Okay, and let's go to, let's see here, Eric in Shelburne, Massachusetts. Eric is on number 6. Okay, Eric, you're on. Eric. Uh-oh. Eric, we can't hear you. Okay, Eric, you can try calling back at a point at which your phone is better. All right, that leaves us with Andrew in Albany, New York. Andrew, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I just wanted to get your take on something after I just make a quick comment. So a lot of our friends, at least my friends and family and people I know, tend to demonize the other side and the fact that we have this president and tend to complain on social media. And I'd like to get your take on what you think we could do as far as solutions. You know, if we see the rights of certain victim groups being compromised, or we don't like the direction the government's taking, or, you know, how to fix gerrymandering and money in politics. But, you know, any of those things, do you want to touch on some solutions or ways we could, as just citizens, help?
Okay.
If we see it turning sour.
Okay, this is really you. This is your hour, not mine, but I'll give you a couple of responses. Number one, it is a time for great courage. People have to be able to announce what they are thinking about bullying, what they are thinking about race hate, what they are thinking, because those who have come before us had that kind of courage. They had it in Selma, Alabama, on the bridge. They've had it before. We have a legislature which can do anything it wants because nobody gives a damn. It's that simple. Nobody cares. You had a Supreme Court, you had a lower federal court yesterday saying gerrymander is terrible. Voting that it's illegal and unconstitutional. I've always thought that, by the way. I think you can't have a democracy if you're going to allow the guys in office to draw their own districts where only they can win.
Right.
But right. 50% of this country, 50% of this country, Andrew, doesn't vote. People who are eligible to vote, they don't vote. You say to kids, okay, not every kid, obviously. We've heard from some wonderful young people, millennials. But for the most part, I don't know, you know, that kind of stuff. And 50% of the country doesn't exercise the franchise. Well, we've got to change that. Because if everybody voted who had a stick in the game, they would, you know, we would have different kinds of outcomes here. So I do think it's a matter of courage. I think it's a matter of knowledge. I think it's a matter of reading. And I think we have to get over the laziness that pervades our politics.
That's
Otherwise,
great.
The people who get the most, who have the most, are going to always win.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. And let's go to, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Jeff in Gardner. All right. Jeff in Gardner, you're on the phone.
Good day, Alan.
Hey.
I just wanted to say first that I agree with John, and most of the people in this country are just such good people. And I think that I don't think we need to worry as much as we might. But I had two things I wanted to say, but mostly that I had seen the movie Candidate the other night. With Robert Redford.
I've been telling people I've been telling people for years to get it from Netflix. It is superb.
Oh, I was so struck by this one speech that the candidate gives towards the end, and it sounded exactly like what Trump was saying. I think, you know, so.
Okay, there are some words you cannot say on the radio.
I apologize.
Don't do that again. So listen,
I won't. But I'll just say one hopeful thing.
Okay, go ahead.
If I could say one hopeful thing,
all right.
Don't we have a proud tradition in this country of some real mean son of a guns, captains of industry, who in their late years decide to do something good for people and end up, you know, being altruistic in their 70s or beyond.
We can only hope. We can only hope. And by the way, be careful about your language. We can't do that here. You'll end up killing this radio station.
I meant to say BS. Would that have gotten me through?
Yeah, that would have gotten you through. Okay,
okay.
Thanks.
I didn't mean to mess up your station here, Alan. Okay, good day.
Thanks, bye. Okay, and now let's go to, thank God we have Zach Malloy here who had his hand on the what we call the red button. As soon as he said it, because there's a seven-second delay, we got it. You didn't hear it, that's why we have it. That's why we spend the money, because nobody wants to get fined. Okay, let's go to Steve in Delmar. Steve in Delmar, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Alan. Thank you for all your good work. I perceive that there's a difference between your campaign,
rhetoric. Yeah.
And what you're saying now, which is more in pace with calming people down and getting to where we can enjoy peace and tranquility, especially around Thanksgiving.
Now, Steve, what do you think about Donald J. Trump? Do you think his rhetoric has changed? I'm not going to get defensive about what you said. I don't agree with you. Okay,
fair enough.
But do you think his rhetoric has changed since the campaign?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what do you think about that? A guy who lies to get elected?
Well, in history, before all technology that we have, before, you know, all this fast-paced information. Campaigners campaigned, and they did it with letters and missives, and they spoke their words, and then 2 weeks later, the whole country decided what to say, what to think about.
But go back in history. Go back in history and look at the Steve, and look at the kinds of things that were being said. For example, about Thomas Jefferson. I mean, they make this stuff look mild.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think if everybody steps back, takes a breath, and tries to support the newly elected president, and then if he screws up, if he doesn't do the job, next 4 years, you go to the ballot box and execute your franchise.
As long as you get a chance to do that. Hey, Steve, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it.
All right.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we shall go now to Bonnie. All right, Bonnie and Lennox. Bonnie, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for doing this show.
You're welcome.
There's so many places to go with all this, and listening to the other callers about keeping a place of peace in our hearts, but still staying informed. For me, I noticed it felt like there was a huge problem during the election campaign. It was so ugly and so uncivil, and I was shocked to feel like this is my country now. This is what my country is. And for me, there's power in looking into ways in which I participate, places where I am uncivil, because it's not just here, it's in Europe as well. There's open hate and hostility, open racism. And I think we need to confront it in our own lives on a daily basis, as well as look at the political situation. But my big concern is that there was almost no talk about climate. And we're not going to get another chance in 4 years if we keep dumping carbon into the atmosphere.
Well, in fact, hold on, Bonnie. So that's interesting that you say that because, as you know, if you looked at the Trump film that he put out, the video he put out, he was talking about re-upping on coal and some of these other energy sources that the Obama administration had been so down on. What do you make of that?
Well, as dreadful as many of his other policies are, it's the climate change one that we don't have a second chance on. The science is irrefutable. If we don't stop dumping carbon into the atmosphere, millions of people are going to die. We're already in a process of a huge extinction.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of problem even now. But if we withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord and don't participate in that, we're not going to get another chance. So when I hear people talking about what we should do in 4 years, we're not going to have another chance simply because of the climate. And when you said it was important for people to stand up and be courageous, people are standing up and being courageous. And one of the groups that are doing it are people that have been repressed in this country for centuries. It's the Native people in North Dakota. And I don't hear anything on the news. I know you did something on Roundtable yesterday morning.
And today.
But I would like
and
to
today,
be hearing on every...
And today.
You mentioned it. But nothing on the news. There's nothing on the news.
I don't think that's
true. And I'm
true.
Hearing stuff about two horses that got retired from the Connecticut Police Department. It's like, so what? People are they're turning water hoses and water cannons and using sound concussion grenades on these people who are protesting nonviolently. And this is under the Obama administration, under a so-called Democratic government. So if we're still doing that, allowing it to happen, and we're not letting people know, I would like to be hearing this on my radio station, WAMC, on every news thing that you
okay,
do every
okay.
hour.
Bonnie,
I've heard
Bonnie,
many less important.
Okay, Bonnie, thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551. Phones are loaded. The reason we're trying to go quickly now is that we want to get everybody to have a chance. I like to say, hey, has it come around once? Fine. Has it come around a second time? Yeah. Okay, three times you're out. All right. Let's go now to Sandy. All right, Sandy, you're on. Go ahead, Sandy.
Alan, thanks for sponsoring the show again.
Okay.
And the comment is, to follow up on your quote about now being the time for courage, I got to take some issue with it in that I think the time for courage was back in the primaries when Bernie was having voter rolls dumped. The thumb was put on the scale for Hillary by the DNC, the superdelegate.
Sandy, wait a second now. Just wait a second. As you know, you're talking to a Sanders supporter here. I did, and I announced it early because I thought it was important that I say it. We didn't really know about what the DNC had done until we saw the WikiLeaks, which was a long time later. But you're right. Courage comes at different times. It was important to have it then, but all I'm saying, and I don't know why you're disagreeing with it, is it's very important to have it now. What in the world could you be possibly saying?
I'm saying we had an opportunity to run an anti-establishment candidate in an anti-establishment year.
Sandy, you did.
Well, the Democrats and the corporate media put their thumb on the scale for Clinton.
Okay, now you're coming around. Whoa. You're coming around the second time. Third time you know I hang up. Okay, we got that part of it. You called up. You started the fight. What did you say? I don't agree with you, Alan. It is the time for courage was then. By implication, it's not now. I'm telling you it is. A million people are going to go down to Washington on the 21st. There's going to be a huge rally in New York City the day after the inauguration. People are having courage. The Washington Post is having courage. The New York Times is having courage right now. So I don't get what you're saying that you disagree with me about.
Well, it's a matter of timing then. I went to Washington in the fall of 2002 after the mushroom cloud nonsense from the Bush administration, along with hundreds of other Vermonters, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people from around the country, didn't make a bit of difference. We still invaded Iraq. So it's timing. You got to pick your fights when you can win them.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, you'll remember that we here at WAMC were having Scott Ritter and all the other experts who are on giving that side about why we shouldn't be in Iraq. Well, I think it's pretty well human knowledge now, including by Donald Trump, by the way, that we shouldn't have gone in there and that we were wrong to do that. So your time in Washington probably did do some help, because otherwise everybody would have said, okay, it doesn't matter. But it did matter. Hey, Sandy, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Marcia in New Paltz. Marcia in New Paltz. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Well, about the last caller, I agree with you. We need to keep the courage going. We need to speak up. whatever we see, whatever we hear. I am a mother of two African children here in Newport, and I am very concerned. I am very afraid.
Sure, me too.
To see my two boys, amazing boys, growing up in this society, which we thought we had made so much progress, and we are taking so many steps back. Another thing about the two first women who called, I think, like they said, we need to call those people who rallied in Washington, D.C. This past weekend, what they are. And I don't understand. I mean, I do, but Donald Trump, he should be denouncing those people. He should be trying his best to disassociate himself from that group. If he really, I mean, they're speaking about that. He empowers them to come out and to take action.
Even when he said, Sandy, I read you, Marsha, I'm so sorry. Marsha, I read you what he said to the New York Times today, that he doesn't like them. And he said, here, I'm going to read it to you again. He disavowed it. It's not a group I want to energize, he said. And if they are energized, I want to look into it and find out why. So
I think it's not enough, Alan. You know why? Yeah. Because there have been minor issues, things not as serious, and he just goes on tweeting and addressing and insulting and so in calling lies. So what he's doing, it's not enough. It's not enough.
Okay, Marsha, I have to leave you there because we're up against, as you know, every 20 minutes, we got to take a very brief break. So we thank you for calling. Your words are music to my ears. I think you're exactly right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Support for WAMC comes from Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts, Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, Handmade Artisan Ice Cream, Sweet Baked Goods, Hot Fudge and more, harolds.com. The 1850 House Inn and Tavern, featuring enclosed and heated Deck 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost three decades, shannonrose.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs, in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com.
Okay, folks, the lines are loaded. We have 10 lines here. They're all loaded, every one of them. So wait till somebody hangs up before you call. All right, now I'm gonna try to hold this down so that we can try to get everybody in. We've got about 18 minutes, so if everybody will just take a minute to make the main point they want to make, and then, well, let's put it this way, get off. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to Jay in Albany. Jay, you're on.
Thank you for the opening, Alan. And I'd just like to comment a matter of semantics. Someone figured out that they could legitimize the dregs of American society by calling the neo-Nazi Klansmen white supremacists the alt-right. I never heard the term before this year, but this is Hillary's basket full of deplorable.
Okay, I'm going to read you the the Southern Poverty Law Center definition. The alternative.
I'm a member.
Me too. The alternative right is a term coined in 2008 by Richard Bertrand Spencer, who heads the white nationalist think tank known as the National Policy Institute, to describe a loose set of far right ideals centered on white identity and the preservation of Western civilization. Jay, you made your point. You made it fast, and I really appreciate that. All right. Now we're going to go to Vane. All right, Vane, you're on. Go ahead. in Beacon.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. What I'm concerned about is the fact-checking. And one of the things that disturbed me during the election is that when candidates make a promise like, I'm going to cut corporate taxes from 35% to 15%, what we need are numbers. It's just like saying Obama's the worst president ever. Or look at our place. Well, as a matter of fact, we know what happened. There's the debt's a lot less than, or the budget deficit is a lot less than it was. And during the Clinton administration, they cleaned up Reagan and George H.W.
Okay, that's all true. Okay, Vane, because we have to move on. I want to ask
you. How do we do this?
Well, that's right. I want to ask you a question. What's your top, as we used to say in English 101, what's your topic sentence? What's your topic sentence? We need to check facts.
Why don't we have a multi-party audit committee that provides numbers for people who, before they start jabbering about their whatever their policy is, we got to check it out.
Well, the newspapers do that.
Universities would love to do that.
The newspapers do that. Donald Trump just got all the newspapers, all the media in a room, sat around a big round table and berated them for what he called anti-Trump stance. But if you read the New York Times every day, I certainly did, if you read the Washington mm-hmm. Post every day, you would see that they were taking what he said and saying this isn't true.
Exactly. And why don't we have an audit committee that we all agree is a good thing, and we have the facts checked. You know, we just say, well, what would happen if we did 35% to 15% corporate tax and blah, 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 and have Trump agree to whatever the outcome was?
Vane, if, you know, he would agree, that would be one thing. You know, that's assuming everybody's going to agree. They're not. Hey, Vane, thanks for calling. All right. Let's go to Susie in Schenectady. All right. Susie in Schenectady, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking the call. I just have to say, you are the reason that I'm a political junkie today. 20 years ago, I called, I don't even remember what it was about, but you asked me, you said, have you called your representative? I was like, no, I haven't done it. You were like, we'll do it, and you hung up on me. That didn't mean, but you did. And so I just want to say that a few calls ago, the caller said, you know, we got to give this guy a chance. We just have to see what he does and to work with him. And I could not disagree more. You are right. The time for courage is now. There are too many people who've been marginalized for too long, and we have to stand up. We have to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. I'm going to the march on the 21st. I'm taking a bunch of my students with me and a bunch of young people who care about this stuff, and I am not just going to sit back and say, oh, everything will be fine. It's not. This guy is disgusting. Our new president-elect, he's disgusting. He is a poor excuse of a human being. I believe him when he says he's going to do all of these horrible things, and I am afraid, and I am not going to take it sitting down. I am calling my representative every single day, Alan. Thank you for that, and we cannot just sit by. I believe him when he says he's going to do this terrible stuff.
Susie.
So thank you for all that he
does. And Susie, thank you for making this call. I appreciate it very much. Okay, now we are going to go to Diane in Albany. All right, Diane, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah. You need a topic sentence because we got 10 people behind you. Go ahead.
I agree with the last caller who said that she believes that Trump is going to do everything he promised. It's evidence. I don't care what he said about in the newspaper about disavowing all the racists. That's not true. It's not true. It's very obvious from the fact that he disappointed Steve Bannon to be his chief advisor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Really? The man is a fascist. He's going to destroy our country. He's going to take us the way of Germany in the 30s. And what can we do about it other than protest and sign petitions? I don't know. You said something earlier about people need to vote, and that's absolutely true. People need to vote. But they also need to be educated. They need to cast educated votes, not uneducated votes. The vast majority of the people who voted for him voted against their own best interest.
Diane,
so
Diane,
there something that we can do, some way,
Diane,
that we can educate
these people
and make them see the truth?
You said it all. You got to educate yourself. You got to educate others. You got to knock on other people's doors. You got to go to marches. If that's what you need to do, you've got to stand up and you got to be strong when other people are going to be weak. Trust me, I lived through McCarthyism, and I remember what that was like. Diane, thank you. All right, let's go now to Guven in Redford. All right. Guven, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan. Thank you.
Sure.
You asked a moment ago, is Donald Trump lying? Of course he's lying. Everything he said during the campaign in order to be elected. Now he's got the job. He has a very different agenda. He's not going to ruin the country. He's not going to, because he has to continue to build his name, his buildings, his towers, whatever is that. If he ruins the country, then he's going to be out of business. So he will prepare a new opportunities for himself. He lies because it is very convenient. He lies because it's a good business practice for him. Nobody checks, like he said, I'm going to bring jobs from China. Nobody says how. And then he changed, I'm going to build a wall. Nobody says how. That's how he gets away. Again, he's going to get whatever he wants to do during his presidency. Unfortunately, I'm even ashamed to call him president. But he will do it. He will lie again just to get himself a different type of business. Just one last word. I don't know this, but we've been reading. I understand his practices. He goes and builds a hotel, and then he doesn't pay the carpenter, he doesn't pay the electrician, and he claims bankruptcy, walk away, sells the hotel, makes the money. Isn't that lie?
Okay, Guven,
Guven,
you make a lot of good points,
I'm
and
good.
We thank you for making them. All right, and now we're going to go to, let's see here, Matt in Big Indian. All right, Matt in Big Indian, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I'll make it quick for you.
Good.
I'm quite liberal, and but I'm not a fan of the media turning a blind eye to the Obama administration. And I wanted to know your thoughts on, given his tendency to, you know, extend the executive branch with executive orders left and right, why he hasn't done anything about the Dakota Access Pipeline situation.
I have no idea. You'd have to ask him. I don't know. I can tell you I don't like it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. Okay, let's now go to Grace in Applause. Okay, Grace in Applause. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you, Alan?
Good, go.
All right. My fear right now is obfuscation of all the issues. In a time when we need to make a stand, and we're going to need to make a stand against the main topic, the alt-right, today's topic, and LGBT issues, I'm really concerned about the mainstream media, other than you guys, not focusing on any of the issues and just on the fluff. So I really wanted to thank you and tell you that I appreciate your reporting of Trump's lack of desire to have media with him and about all of the issues that you cover. So thank you very much.
Well, let me say this to you, Grace. First of all, thank you very much for making that call and making that statement. But let me tell you that we are in a place now where he is calling the media in and saying, basically, behind all the business, let's have a discussion, was, you've been unfair to me, you better toe the line. I'm sure that that's what this is all about, Grace. Thank you so much for calling. All right, let's go to, let's see here. Yeah, that would be Ben in West Hurley. All right, Ben, you're on.
How you doing?
Go, you got to give us your topic sentence. There are 10 people behind you, we got 8 minutes, yes.
My topic sentence is, I'm disturbed by the wording of how Trump said he didn't support the neo-Nazi groups. In other words, somebody talking about basically a terrorist group like, well, we'd like to have a meeting with them and talk about their concerns. You know, that's not even going to come up for Black Lives Matter, who's been peaceful. That's not going to come up for any of the indigenous groups. I'm disturbed by his wording.
Well, okay. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go now to Sergio on line number 9. Sergio, what's your topic sentence?
Hello, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. The propaganda
If you go across the dial, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, you have so much alt-right and right-wing propaganda. It's how is it that we can break through this? Yes, you do a great job at WAMC. You always have. But I think that really what we're losing as a group of people, as United States citizens, is the right wing, the propaganda that has been pushed out on social media, on Breitbart, all of those sites. How do we break through that?
Well, if it's a question, the answer is you make sure that you write to them when you hear something you don't like, that you call here, which you're doing today, which is good because it makes you really unique. Most people don't do that. That you write a letter to the New York Times, that you write a letter to the Albany Times Union. You know, there's plenty of hours in the day, and sure. You need to keep doing it, Sergio. I appreciate your call. I'm trying to get everybody in. Thank you. Let's go to Paul in Hillsdale. Welcome back, Paul. Nice to hear from you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I don't want to relitigate the primary, but the gentleman was a little wrong with his facts. Hillary was ahead by 3 million votes in the primary, and she had about 300 or 400 more delegates.
Paul, as I said, to
relitigate is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is ridiculous. I made that point. I said we got to move ahead, and the time to have courage is now. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go. Let's go to Elizabeth in Amherst. All right. Elizabeth Amherst, what's your topic, Sam?
Okay, hi.
What's your topic?
I'd like to strongly join in applause with your caller, Grace, who is cheering on the media. We've all talked about Second Amendment rights a lot, and let's hear it for First Amendment rights and the rights of a free press to cover and report on the presidency and all other elected officials. Secondly, I'd love to hear... you, Alan, or other people comment on Trump's financial entanglements. Trump talked about it this morning on MSNBC. Always follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. So that's third thing, to feel better, look for a charity or some service, work of service that you haven't done before and do it.
That's a great idea.
For me today, I signed up to help with the clearing of landmines is by a small donation through an organization in Vietnam. There are still billions of landmines left from
okay.
the war in Vietnam.
Hey, Elizabeth, thank you. Hey, whoa. You're a little off topic right now.
Yeah?
We thank you very much for the call and your topic sentence. All right, we'll go to Raymond in Hillsdale, New York, who will give us his topic sentence. What's your topic sentence, Raymond?
Thank you very much. I just have three comments. First is, why are we giving so much importance to this alt-right group that they're even worthy of a discussion? Second is, Trump basically seemed to denounce the alt-right group today. I'm not sure what more you expect him to do other than to denounce them. And third, you're calling all of these people who are protesting against Trump as being courageous. However, when the same number of people protested Obama, they were called racist and obstructionist. Could you explain the difference?
Absolutely not. But thank you very much, Raymond, for calling, because I'm trying to get a topic sentence out of everybody. It's your show, not mine. All right. Now we'll go to, let's see here, Sue in Highland, New York. Sue in Highland, you're on. I think you may be the last call, so go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Why I cannot support Donald Trump, I'm referring to the other caller to give him a chance. His denigration of women, Mexicans, Muslims, the disabled, his use of inappropriate language on the campaign trail, his bully behavior towards his opponents, where he called Little Marco, Lying Ted, Crooked Hillary, Crazy Bernie, his inability to answer questions with thought and poise, his lack of stately behavior, his record of corporate bankruptcies, his long record of hurting small business. I cannot support him, and I cry for my country.
I thank you for that, Sue. Okay, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to those who are left on the line, who are Rick in Warren, Massachusetts, and Raju in Albany. So, support for the Vox Pop comes from Curtis Lumber, featuring Anderson Windows, Therma True Doors, Owens Corning Shingles, Valspar Paints, Cabot Stains, and more at 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont, CurtisLumber.com. And Stammel Stringed Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales services and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows, restorations and appraisal, open Tuesday through Saturday, StammelStrings.com. And Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years, cnharchitects.com. And Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV, albany.clipcentric.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy, who saved us at least once today. Your calls were answered by Susie Checkey. She's terrific. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.